Dealing with the media, if you're that way inclined, it's quite good fun. And he's not shy, Aaron. He's done public performances of the piece and written a book and things like that. So he wants to share for all sorts of reasons. But I think once it dies, that media interest, that's the problem you've got then, is that aftermath. And you are left with the experience, reliving the experience in your mind, but you're left alone with it really in a way, or you can be. And I think he went through quite a low period there. And he emerged out of it. He met his wife, and she has clearly had a huge impact on him because he's changed as a person, you can see. And I think the true completion of his journey has only arrived because of that, because of meeting his wife. And then obviously they had the child, which you see in the film. The timing of that is extraordinary, and it allows us to complete his journey as a compressed 90-minute event. But I think in reality it took him many years to fully complete the journey.
It sounds like an Eastern philosophy almost. At the press conference he talked about his death and then the rebirth and growing up again with his parents. And then, as you were saying, with the death of the media, that he almost died again before meeting his wife, that he goes through this circle. This is the third time now that he's been reborn in that constant quest for himself. And I'm interested, concerning you, you come off of Slumdog Millionaire, and then you're listed on Pawnee as a producer and Maximum City as well. Well, first of all, aren't those happening? I'll get back to the original question.
That's fine. Pani is a Shekhar Kapoor film, and I'm a big supporter of Shekhar, so I'd love to, if the film happens, I'll certainly support it in that way. I'm not involved in it day by day, and I haven't spoken to Shekhar in a while. He's working on the script at the moment like that. Maximum City, I would have loved to adapt that, but I couldn't find a way to make it work at the moment, so that's not going to happen right now, although I'm still drawn to making a film either based on Maximum City or loosely based on that idea of a thriller based around that city. I'd love to make a film like that one day.
But you are so impacted, clearly going through an experience from Slumdog Millionaire, and not only shooting there, but also still being involved with the lives of those children years after.
We will be for a long time, yes.
And I'm interested by the influence of Asia and India in particular upon your career and how that completely transformed you, because as we're talking about Aaron, and he went through these rebirths, and that's very comparable with Eastern religion as well. What was the impact that it had on you?
It did have a profound impact upon me. I found it an incredibly generous place, despite the poverty and despite the pressure of life there, of the crowding and the sense of people hassling and trying to take advantage of a circumstance if they could. I still found it a very, very generous place, and I learned a lot about myself there and about directing.
What did you learn most about?
I learned about being a bit looser. Normally I'm a very controlling director. Directors are controlling, it's part of the job, but there's various degrees of it, and the constructs I normally work on are very controlling constructs. There was a very complicated construct in Slumdog, but the ingredients within it had to be let loose. The only way you could film in Mumbai was to trust the city. You couldn't control it in the way you would do normally as a location. It would offer up things for you, and you had to be in a position where you would grab them. And then on 127 Hours, I was less controlling of an actor than I've ever been, ever. And I knew in doing a solo film like this that you couldn't control an actor. If an actor looked controlled or manipulated in any way, it would just collapse the thing. And I'd seen Darren Aronofsky's Wrestler, which I liked very much, and I remember thinking when I saw it, because I like Darren's work, and he's, as a director, he's not unlike me. He likes to manipulate the camera and the screen and get a bit of sparkle going and visually and things like that. But I remember him making this plain film with Mickey at the centre of it. Boom. Mickey was absolutely generating the film, and I thought, I'd like to make a film like that. Part of a director's skill set should be a film like that. And this was the opportunity to do that, was to work with James and let him dominate the if you look at all the other films I've made, no actor dominates a film that I've made like the way that he dominates this one, you know?
Well, yeah, because there's so much in the ensemble with Slumdog, with Trainspotting, and
lots of other films.
Ordinary, which also was shot in Utah.
Yes, that's right.
It's interesting, though, and I am a little puzzled when people say that it's such a different film from Slumdog Millionaire, because it's not. Not really at all. Yes, the plot, sure, but they're both in very confined spaces. You're shooting in confined spaces throughout. They're striving towards sunlight, whether it's literally in 127 hours or figuratively with Slumdog, and it's this striving of, you know, the human spirit is such a corny way of saying it, but they're very, very close. They're both striving for the connection, and they're also at their last end to make that connection, whether it's in Slumdog or whether it's here.
Yeah, there are some similarities, and sometimes you're aware of them in films and you bump into them on the film set. You're suddenly aware of, oh, I've been here before. Or it's afterwards that you kind of really get the connection.
When you first saw the press conference that Aaron gave, that you were talking about at the press conference today, did any of that, as you were thinking of how to tell the story, Did any of that play into it? I've dealt with confined spaces before.
No, it was when I read the book in 2006. I began to get a very clear idea of how to make the film, or what I thought was a clear idea of how to make the film. No, that was before we made Slumdog. But I think you're right, this is quite literally a struggle against the odds. But that's true in some of the other movies as well, particularly Slumdog is struggling against the odds for sure. But there was also something about the role of people, and it was why we put in the beginning triptych of this film some shots of Indian crowds as well. Because there is a connection there, because the thing people fear most in Mumbai, and this is in Maximum City actually, it's very eloquently written in Maximum City by Sukheti Mehta, people feel loneliness more than any other single thing. It's so crowded life, you're so surrounded by people, everybody grows up sleeping six in a room. And the loneliness you fear is that you'll be on your own in a flat on the outskirts of Mumbai. That's the terror they all have. And that's the terror they have that modern society is going to try and impose on them. And it's why they're quite protective about the slums, about maintaining that society, even though the physical conditions they're in, from our perspective, are unacceptable. From theirs, they're an inconvenience compared to the benefit of all living together. So suddenly you then go to this story, which is about a guy who, at the beginning, is turning his back on those kind of crowds as though he doesn't need them, because he's got his individualism, he's self-sufficient, independent, an achiever, who has turned his back on Intel engineering because, you know, he don't need any of this. He doesn't need anybody. And he climbs solo. And he doesn't tell anybody where he's going. And he finds the emotional journey or spiritual journey of the film is he finds that he, not only does he need those people will pull him back if he will let them. In some way, they will pull him back into life again, really. And that's why he hallucinates about a kid. He's 27. The last thing on his mind is parenthood. And in the midst of his journey, he sees this child and he knows it's his. It's not a Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad thing. It's not a kind of religious thing. It's clearly his part in a lineage, which he's not even aware of yet. That lineage is the supreme way in which an individual realises it's not about individualism. You live your life and it ends quite quickly, and all you can do with it is pass it on decently to someone else, whether directly or indirectly. Behave decently to other people. That's basically all. And he learns that lesson through it. And that's why the specific memories I have are about people that he has not really appreciated as much in his heart as he could have done. And when he arrived at that moment, he gets a route out. The kid is suddenly a direct route out of the... And he literally says in the book, as he strained to try and reach the child, he felt the bone bend in his arm, and he knew he could break it, and he'd never thought of it before that moment.
Yeah, I'm interested in Frankenstein, because you've been talking about it for 8 years. The Royal is known for musicians and employs a lot of musicians, so will you score it?
Well, I'm hoping to kind of musically score it to a degree, but it'll be a play of performance and speech, and there'll be some musical elements in it. Quite how much, I don't know yet, until we start working on it. But we have an unusual perspective. We're doing it from the point of view of the creature, which has never really, as far as we can tell, has never been done before, despite the fact it's had myriad adaptations and distortions in movies and things like that. But the core of the story, we will rethink through this unusual perspective. So the evening begins with the birth of this creature. It opens its eyes and it's born. 30 years old, but born, you know, day one.
Is this the middle step for you coming back to theatre before doing such a huge live event like the opening ceremony? Is that why you came back to theatre?
Well, it was all accidental, actually, but I've been trying to make sense of it in retrospect, and I'm hoping it does fulfil that, yes. I'm hoping it helps me get ready to live performance before we do the huge live performance of the Olympic Games, yeah. So we'll see.
Thank you so much.
Okay, cool. Thank you.